Good to see you this morning. Good to be in a place we call our church home and our church family. So welcome to all. We've been talking for the last three Sundays about the kingdom of God, and today I kind of want to bring that to a conclusion as we talk about the king's yoke and how we can yoke up literally with Christ and learn how to live and walk through this life with him. If you'll open your Bible to Matthew chapter 11 in verses 28 through 30, I hope you have in some time in your life or past underscored this passage. It's one of the great ones that we have, and I hope that it will be something that will really challenge you and speak to you about what it means to really come to Christ. Jesus said in these verses, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now we've talked about the kingdom, what it is, and how to live within the kingdom, and how to learn to follow Jesus and navigate kingdom life. But today, as we look at this text, I think what it really reveals that I hope everyone catches is the heart of God and what he has for those who are willing to come to him. Now, I think in the context of this 11th chapter, and especially these verses, Jesus is speaking to those who have yet to enter the kingdom of God, and he's also speaking to those who have grown weary in learning how to follow him and live a kingdom-centered life. You see, a lot of people that we look at outside the walls of the church, we have no idea what many of them are experiencing internally. We know that a lot of people have very difficult lives, painful lives, hard lives, and yet we sympathize with them to some degree, but we often fail to really think about what they are experiencing internally. But then we also can look at our own lives as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would venture to say that if I were to ask how many of you at some time or some point in your Christian life have grown weary of trying to be the person you know God wants you to be as a follower of the Lord Jesus, I think every single one of us would hold up our hand. I know I would. So what I want to do this morning is, first of all, talk about his invitation to the weary. To the weary. And I think that's going to cover basically three different areas. You see, when Jesus walked this earth, he was constantly revealing the heart and the compassion of God. But in this particular passage, I think he is primarily addressing those who have become weary because of the burdensome rituals and rules of their religion. Rules and rituals that mocked them because they couldn't live up to it. And they had become weary. In fact, history would tell us, if you go back and look at that particular time in Jewish history in particular, there were a lot of people who had just fallen away from temple worship, fallen away from the observance of the temple rituals and so on. Why? Because they had become weary with it. And their religion had not fulfilled what they were looking for in life. So here is Jesus' invitation to the weary. Read again, verse 28. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I think he's addressing, first of all, the invitation that he's extending to the lost. You know, God has always been inviting people who are far from him to come to him for forgiveness, for salvation, for inner rest. If you go all the way back to the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, verse 18, there God is speaking to people who have become not just weary, but now they are slaves and captives. And he says, "Come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow or wool." In John chapter 7, you hear that invitation to come again. Jesus said, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink of the living water, where he will never thirst again." All the way back in the very last chapter of the book of the Revelation, the Bible says there in verse 17 of Revelation 22, it says, "Come, come." The Spirit and the bride say, "Come." To all those who hear, "Come." To all those who are thirsty, "Come." That's God's invitation. Always going outward, always going to those whom he knows need to hear. There is a place of rest. There is a place of relief, and it's found in him. You see, God knows that deep within the soul of every single human being, there is that desire for meaning, the desire for purpose, the desire for a relationship that means something to them. And so God knows the inner searchings of man. And man without a relationship with God goes through life always searching, always restless, and empty. Just empty. The naturalist Thoreau said that most men and women live quiet lives of desperation. You see, life just doesn't function properly for unbelievers. You know, there's a proverb that says, "The way of the transgressor is hard." And a lot of people have a hard time understanding, why is my life so hard? Why is my life more difficult than maybe someone else's? And people look at their life and they cannot understand the constant struggle that they have. And what God is trying to do through those struggles and those times of emptiness and the restlessness of their soul and their heart is saying to them, "Listen, if you'll only stop, and if you will listen, you'll hear a voice that is calling you to come and find rest in me." I was listening to the former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Daryl Strawberry, who had become a Christian, but he became a Christian in prison. And he was saying, "I thank God for my time in prison, because if I had not been there, I probably would have never slowed down long enough to really hear God speaking into my life." So God extends an invitation first to the lost, those who are weary because of their lostness and that constant searching and looking and trying to find meaning and purpose and rest in life. But he also extends the invitation to the religious who are weary. You see, in this context, he is speaking directly to people who had become weary with religion. weary with the impossible burdens and expectations and demands that were put upon them. You see, to the Jew, God was distant, and God required endless rules and regulations in order to really know Him and worship Him. And try as they might, people could not connect with God through all of the various rituals and rites and temple worship and sacrifices and all that they did. They never felt connected with God. You see, Jesus understood what had happened. A real relationship with God had been hijacked, so to speak, by the scribes and the Pharisees, who began to place upon people these demands that God never intended. In fact, Jesus in Matthew 23, verse 4 said, "They bind heavy burdens and lay them on men's shoulders." He knew what had happened. He knew that the common man, try as he might to know God and worship God, had been given so many rules and so many do's and so many don'ts and so many try harders and do betters and give more that they had absolutely become weary. And all of that had brought them no closer to knowing God or filling that emptiness in their lives. You see, that kind of religion without a relationship indeed makes your life weary. There's a lot of people in a lot of churches today who go through the motions because that's the way they were brought up, or that's the way they were taught, or they think, you know, sooner or later, if I keep doing this, I'm going to sense God's presence in my life. But they've come to realize my religion really isn't working. It isn't helping me handle life's burdens. It isn't changing me on the inside. And that's why when Jesus looked out, if you go back in chapter 10, and he said, as he looked over this massive crowd, he said, "I see people, they're like sheep without a shepherd." And the Bible uses a word that says, in the very pit of his stomach, literally his bowels, he felt this roiling inside of him, a tenderness, because he knew these people were trying so hard to find God and please God and do what God wanted them to do. But they didn't have the strength. They didn't have the energy. They didn't have the understanding. They didn't have the inner power to be able to do that. But I think he's also addressing and extending an invitation to believers who are weary. You see, I think he was speaking to people who were very sincere and they knew who he was, but they were just life weary. I pulled an old book off the shelf the other day. It's one of my favorites. I read it from time to time. One of my favorite authors that I'm pretty sure probably nobody in this room has ever even heard of. I stumbled across him years ago. And in this book, he puts in one chapter some of his journal entries, personal thoughts. And on a particular day, he said, "I must be having a Blue Monday or a bad case of the blahs. I'm just weary." Weary. You see, that's where a lot of us live. The everyday problems of life, the challenges we face, the competitiveness of our day, the disappointments that we experience, the responsibilities that we shoulder, and the worries of life become draining, and they become wearisome. You see, I think Jesus is speaking to us. People in the church, people who are followers of Christ, people who sincerely want to please God, people who really want to live as authentic kingdom people, people who want to make a difference in this world, but they battle with this nagging thought that they've never done quite enough. And Jesus is never quite satisfied with them. And it becomes a very wearisome life, trying to live up to what Jesus never said we had to live up to. You see, I think a lot of us, and I don't have time to do it, but I could take you back to some early years of my ministry, and I lived right here. Right here. This was me. You see, instead of going to Him personally, in our time of need and in our time of help, we've just become accustomed to living anxious, frustrated, weary Christian lives. And I want you to notice something that Jesus said here. You see, we spend so much of our time trying to earn rest. And what does He say here? I will give you rest. We think if we do more, if we work harder, if we pray more, if we give more, if we do something, that it's going to bring rest into our lives. And Jesus said, listen, it's coming to me that you find rest. Remember what He said to the Pharisees in John 5:39? He said, you search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And you will not come to me that you might find life. What I had to learn in my own walk with Christ is I used to struggle and fight within myself, and I used to go through all these things. I was going to do better, and I was going to do more, and I was going to try harder, and I was going to become this, and I was going to do that, and all those things. And finally, I just wore out. Wore out. And I finally, flat on my face before Jesus, I just said, I'm done. I'm done. I can't do this anymore. And that was the turning point of learning to trust Him and learning to come to Him personally and pour my heart out to Him and ask Him for the strength and help and grace and whatever else it was I needed. I came to Him, and God began to show me some things that up to that point, I had never really understood. You see, Jesus is saying some things here, but I want you to notice what He's not saying. He does not say, struggle on, Christian, with courage, and someday things are going to get better for you. He does not say, I sympathize with you, but do your best to imitate me and you'll eventually get stronger. You see, it's not pity that he's offering. It's not advice that he's offering here. What Jesus is offering to every one of his children is himself. Himself. You see, that's his gift. He said, I will give you rest. The gift is himself. His life, his presence, his peace, his wisdom. He's offering that to us in the midst of our life and our struggles and our difficulties, our fears. But here's the problem. The real bottom line issue is humbling ourselves and really coming to him. You see, most of us, you know, we still have that John Wayne mindset. I can do this because I'm who I am. I can fight through this. I can make it happen. I can do this for God, and God will bless it. But that's why Jesus moves to that second invitation, verse 29 and 30. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle or meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Here's what Jesus knows, that sometimes we are slow to catch on to ourselves. And that is, he knows even the most dedicated followers, the most committed followers, will get weary of soul because of time and because of pain. It will eventually wear down our resolve. So what did he mean when he said, take my yoke upon you? You know, it's very interesting to the Jews, this yoke was a symbol of submission to someone or to something. But Jesus meant, when you come to me, you must come with a humble and submissive spirit to take my yoke upon yourself. Very interesting, in his day, and Jesus being a carpenter, he probably made a few yokes. But in his day, a yoke was a very, very important part of their lives, especially those who worked in the fields and needed oxen. They would literally bring the ox to the carpenter shop, where he would very carefully measure that ox and the yoke so that it would fit and never chafe the shoulders or the ox or the neck of the oxen. It was a very detailed process. And so when Jesus says to us, I want you to take my yoke upon you, he is picturing perhaps a yoke that he had made, because a yoke could be made to fit one. It could also be made to fit another that joined with that particular ox inside that yoke. And so he says to us, if you will come willingly and submit yourself, you can exchange your inabilities and your weaknesses by taking my yoke and learning from me. The word learn here is the word mathetes. We get our word disciple in that from that word. And Jesus is saying, if you really want to learn how to be my disciple, how to really walk with me, learn from me, and how to live in the kingdom, and how to find rest for your soul, you need to take my yoke upon you. Now, it's not a yoke to be feared. He says, come to me because I am gentle. I'm lowly in heart. He also says that this yoke will fit you perfectly. You see, he never asks you or me to do what we are not able or capable to do with our gifts and abilities. Years ago, I was working with a younger pastor, And he was struggling with some things, and one day we were just talking, one of those deep heart-to-heart kind of talks, and he says, you know, I've come to the realization, and I finally have accepted it. I know, and he was in a rather small church. He said, I know that I will always be somewhere in this size church, because God never intended for me to be into anything bigger, because I don't have the gifts, and I don't have the abilities, and I don't have the leadership skills to be able to do that. And he said, so I'm content with that finally, because I know this is where God has led me, God has made me, God has gifted me. And I think as I look back on it, he has found that the yoke that Christ has for him fits him perfectly. Now, what does he mean here to take his yoke? What does that offer? Well, first of all, he teaches us, if we are willing to take his yoke, to rely upon his strength. In a shared yoke, one of the oxen would often be much stronger and more experienced. The weaker ox would find relief from bearing the load alone. And I think what Jesus would be telling us today is, for you, it means this, that you are free now from self-effort. You are free from self-improvement. You are free from constantly struggling to prove yourself to me or to other people. You are now yoked with me, and rest will come to your soul as you know you are yoked with someone who is much stronger and far more experienced than you are. But he also teaches us how to follow him. Again, whenever two oxen were yoked together, there was one that was always considered the lead animal. Now, isn't it true that a lot of our unrest comes from trying to figure out what God wants us to do and which direction God wants us to go in life? You know, Jeremiah said something very insightful. He said, I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself, nor is it in a man to direct his own steps. You know, Jeremiah, as much as he went through, learned a valuable lesson that sometimes you and I have a hard time learning. We are able, if we will, to yoke up with the Lord Jesus, who said, I can lead you, I can guide you, if you'll let me, if you'll trust me. What's Proverbs 3:5 says? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not in your own understanding, and he will direct your paths. That's what he's saying here. But I think he teaches us something else. He teaches us to be at peace with God and with ourselves. You see, Jesus knows the Father, and he perfectly obeys him. And so he comes to us and offers to yoke up with us to teach us how to walk with God in peace. You see, he enables us to learn how to obey God. He enables us to learn how to trust God. He enables us to do those things that God puts before us, not in our own strength, but in his. So in everything we do, as we are yoked with Christ, he is teaching us. He is leading us. He is empowering us. It's literally as if Jesus himself is living his life through us as we are yoked together with him. One of my favorite missionary stories is about Hudson Taylor, who was a medical missionary in China many, many years ago. I remember reading the biography of his life years ago, and it really moved me because I could identify with him so easily in this respect. His autobiographer said of him these words: "He was a joyous man now, a bright, happy Christian. He had been a toiling, burdened one before, with not much rest of soul. It was rest in Jesus now, and letting him do the work, which makes all the difference. Whenever he spoke in meetings after that, a new power seemed to flow from him. And in the practical things of life, a new peace possessed him. How was his faith strengthened? Not by striving after faith, but resting on the faithful one." That little book was called The Spiritual Secret of Hudson Taylor. You see, here's what I think Jesus is telling the lost. He's telling the religious but lost. And he's telling those who truly believe in him. He finds us when we're down and out. He finds us when we have nothing left to give. And he says, "Come to me. Let me take away your weariness. Let me give rest to your soul." You see, when we take that yoke of his upon us, we find that he helps us in our struggles with sin. He helps us in our battles with temptation. He helps us in our times of trials and tribulations because he's right there with us. We're yoked to him. And I would say that he stands today with the same offer to every one of us who are willing to submit ourselves to his yoke, who are willing to learn how to live the life of a kingdom person, walking with him. You see, so many times Christians, they go so far with the Lord, but they won't take his yoke. It scares them. Think it's for somebody else, not for them. Won't fit me the way it ought to fit me. And because of that, so many Christians just struggle and struggle and struggle and struggle. And they think Christianity just doesn't work. Let me challenge you this morning to do something. And I really want you to do this. If you're sincere, I want you to just get alone with Jesus. And just say to him, "Lord, I don't understand all of this, but you said to come. And you said to take your yoke upon myself." And then he said, "I'll teach you. You'll learn how to walk with me, how to live life, how to be a kingdom person, how to be authentic." But it begins when you really submit yourself to his lordship, and you willingly place your life in that yoke and say, "Lord, from this day on, I want to walk through life yoked with you." Would you do that? It can make all the difference in your daily life. It can make all the difference in how you see trials and tribulations, how you struggle with this and that. It can make all the difference because you know he's there with you. Right there with you. Yoked. His strength becomes yours. His guidance becomes yours. His peace with God becomes yours if you'll yoke your life with His. Would you bow with me, please? Father, I thank you this morning for this great invitation to every person. No one left out. If you're here without Jesus this morning, you've never invited Him into your heart. Jesus extends that invitation to you to come to Him and find life. Maybe you're religious, but you're lost. In other words, you can recite Scripture, you can sing the hymns, you can do whatever a Christian does, but there's an emptiness that's never been filled. There's a void that's still there. And you look at your life and you say, Lord, I'm trying, I'm religious, I do good, I try to help people. I've never deliberately done anything to hurt someone else, but Lord, I'm not really sure I know you. I'm not really sure if I die, I'm going to go to heaven. I just need you. And that's who Jesus addresses. People that are religious, but they're lost. But then he says to his people, those who have trusted in him, are you tired of trying to live the life in the kingdom of God in your own strength? Are you weary of trying to prove to God and prove to other people that you're worthy to be one of God's children? Are you just worn out, feeling like I never do enough to please you? Jesus says, come to me. Let me really teach you. Let me love you. Let me show you what grace is all about. And learn to walk through life with me. Maybe God's speaking to someone about something totally different today. But you know God's speaking to you. The invitation is for you as well. So Lord, in these moments, your invitation to our hearts. I pray people that really hear you today will respond in Jesus' name.